Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman. As the announcer just told you, with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Doing double duty today.
Mm-hmm.
Fred hosted Sandy's show this morning, right?
Yes. Sandy's on her way to Mount Rushmore.
Is she really going there?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't
for
know
the,
that.
For the July 4th celebration.
Awesome. I'm going to watch that on TV. When is that?
That should be exciting. July 4th, I think, as far as... Or is it tomorrow night, Friday night? There's going to be fireworks, I know.
Yeah. So. Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Kansas, how you doing, Brother Ray?
Hey, it's all good, Tim. How are you doing this morning?
Now, you got construction going around the Pritchard household today. Is that what we understand?
Yeah, I've been flushed out of my basement bunker, and I'm above ground this morning.
Are we gonna hear construction noises in the background?
You could hear anything. You don't know.
I could disappear
for a moment or two, but right now everything's kind of quiet.
All right, Walker. How do they follow, how folks, if they are listening and they want to join us on the internet, what can they do?
Yes, YouTube or Facebook, type in Today's Issues. They can watch the show there. Brent, our producer, also posts the news stories there, so you can follow up on the news stories we talk about. And you can always visit our website, afr.net. afr.net, a great way to keep up with our content here from American Family Radio.
So if folks want to watch the show?
Yep, Facebook and YouTube.
Facebook and YouTube. I'll just make a request of everyone, if you can, during this July 4th weekend, tell one person that you think would be interested, well, even if they're not, annoy them, and tell them about our app. Because that app, AFR app, is spreading like wildfire.
Mm.
In fact, one day we'll have as many listeners on our app as we do on our radio stations. Mm-hmm. Right, Walker?
That's right.
So if people want to, you know, because there's a lot of people around the country and even internationally, but a lot of people around the country who are looking for a place to go and listen to the news and information and get good Bible study,
mm-hmm.
a place to congregate, if you will,
mm-hmm.
A people of like mind,
yeah,
and like beliefs, and they don't have anywhere. They feel like they're on an island, and maybe they don't have access to a Christian talk radio network like us where they live, but the app, you know, makes us available anywhere.
That's right.
So tell somebody about the American Family Radio app, and our job then is to get them hooked. Right?
Yes, right.
That's
our
right.
job is then you just introduce them to it, help them to download it if they don't know how to do that, and then it's easy to listen to American Family Radio. Okay, Jan Markell will be with us at the bottom of the hour for you Jan fans. So we look forward to our conversation with her. And Fred, what's leading the news this morning?
Big news, big economic news. President very happy about it. He says the economy is roaring back after the latest jobs report. Another 4.8 million jobs were added in the month of June. And the unemployment rate fell to 11.1%. Now, the economists were saying it wouldn't be that good, but some very good numbers this morning. The president, obviously, extremely pleased with that. As he has told us all the way along, that as we started to open up again after the pandemic shutdown, that things would come back. And he used the term roaring back this morning. So he obviously very pleased with that. We know that across the country, the states are starting to reopen again. There have been a few places where they are putting back some restrictions. In Texas, for instance, they've decided that one of the bad places to be right now as far as maybe contracting COVID-19 is a bar. So from a Christian perspective, you want to shut down all the bars. Go to it.
Yeah, the bars are not protected by the First Amendment, I don't think, no. Necessarily, like churches are. But what are they, Walker? They think bars?
Yeah, I guess it's just the close contact you know, people hanging out together, being right beside each other.
Drinking beer.
I guess, you know, but that's kind of, I don't know.
A lot of this is
subjective too.
What do you say, Ray?
There's a lot of close fellowship in the bars, Tim, you know.
Okay.
You know, congregate. They don't necessarily follow the social distancing, I don't think.
Especially when they get about three drinks in them.
Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah. Seriously, so Texas and now California, Ray, have they gone into shutdown again, basically? Well, you see that?
Yeah, he put Governor Newsom put an order on he picked some counties.
Yeah,
some
19 counties.
Yeah. And have they gone, are they, in those 19 counties, Walker, is that complete lockdown or tighter regulations?
I think tighter regulations. But I was watching Governor Ron DeSantis and Senator Rick Scott, both from Florida, and, you know, they made some good points. Governor Ron DeSantis said, we're not shutting anything down. We're not going back to shutdowns. He said, because that really doesn't work. It doesn't help. He said, you know, closing a mom and pop shop downtown where there may be five people total in there on any given day, that doesn't really help. So he said, we're taking a targeted approach, figuring out where people are most vulnerable, and then we can approach it that way instead of these across the board, let's shut down everything.
Yeah. Aren't they having problems mostly in South Florida? I think it's South Florida, you know, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
That has been the case.
I don't think not so much Orlando North.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right now. So
also, what some in the media don't factor in is that you can just as easily get this at your house with your family. So you're spending more time with your family in close contact, but yet you're still going to the grocery store, you're still going to Walmart, you're still going to Lowe's, you're still going to work, you're still going to get gas, you're still going to pick up dinner. So you can get it at home. Home is not necessarily a safe place.
Mm-hmm. I learned of the first two people I know personally to get it because of HIPAA laws. I can't give their names here.
Yeah,
Just kidding. I wouldn't do it anyway. No. But, Ray, do you know anybody personally who has contracted this?
Yes, indeed. And some good friends of ours who were, we'll just say, on the mission field and contracted it outside of America and have made it back to the States for treatment. And thankfully, particularly one person doing much better now. But this is the problem with this virus is that even if you stay home and are super careful, you can still catch the virus.
Yeah. I was reading a story the other day about a mom over in Texas, and it went viral. It was on Drudge and other places. But it was about a mom who they called her hypervigilant. I mean, she didn't leave the house for 4 months. She sanitized all of her FedEx boxes that came in, the whole nine yards. And she got COVID. Mm-hmm. She has no idea where she got it from. Her and her daughter did not leave the house for 4 months. So who knows? But, yeah, to your point, Ray, just because you stay at home doesn't mean you're not going to get it.
Right.
And I think we have to remember the perspective. Increase in cases does not mean the thing is getting more serious. It reflects that last count I saw, 30 million Americans have now been tested.
Yeah.
All right? So just because you have it, you're detected with it, doesn't mean the pandemic is getting worse. It just means we're now more aware of who has it than we were 3 months ago.
Yeah, and it's really, if you look at it, you can look at it one way, the way I'm looking at it, it's actually a good thing that the younger age groups are getting coronavirus now, because the reality with the virus is it's going to spread throughout the entire population, whether it takes 6 months or 12 months, everybody's going to get it. You can't protect yourself from it. You're going to get it at some point, just like everybody's had the flu, everybody's had strep, so on and so forth. But if you get it now, you're more immune to it. So as long as when you have it, you don't go around elderly people or vulnerable people, that's important. But the best thing to do is go ahead and get it, and then that way you're immune to it in the future, and you don't spread it on to others.
So wait a minute. You're telling me I need to go ahead and get sick?
I wouldn't intentionally do it, but if you have
it. Can I wait till after the fourth?
If you happen to get it, and
I had a couple of tea times for the weekend.
You'll be more immune to it in the future.
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing because it's funny. It just sounds funny for somebody to say, you need to go ahead and get sick, right?
Well, here's the thing, Tim. You may already have had it.
True. Right.
And didn't know it.
True.
You could have it now and not know it. Because there's so many of these cases, especially the younger you are and the healthier you are, they're completely asymptomatic. You've been exposed to it. You've, quote, got the virus, but it's not doing – but life just goes on. You're fine. That's what's happening in the majority of cases, especially for young people.
I want to ask you at our show meeting this morning where we prepare for this, if people – I know some people can't believe that we actually prepare for the show. They think we're just shooting the breeze here,
which we are sometimes,
which we do from time to time. And
that's why folks listen though. I
try to keep things on course here. That's my job. But let me ask you this, Walker. You had mentioned some numbers this morning in the state of Texas, and we've got a few emails from folks who say we need to understand how they count COVID-19.
Yeah.
Cases. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you're seeing across the country, especially in the South, the news story is cases are rising all across the country in 30-plus states. But what's not explained beyond that is that now we're doing elective procedures in hospitals all across the country, which we weren't doing for a few months. And in order to have an elective procedure, everyone who gets admitted to the hospital is being tested for COVID, even if they're not symptomatic, even if they don't have symptoms of coronavirus. So you're having an increase in testing across the board at hospitals, even for people who don't have symptoms. That in Texas, for example, that's leading to more positive cases being reported, is because everybody who goes in, whether you have a twisted ankle or a broke arm, you're being tested for coronavirus.
And be very careful about how the mainstream media spins this story, in particular hospital admissions. I saw one story this morning, and they said hospital admissions have skyrocketed. But to Walker's point, people are not being admitted necessarily because they have COVID. People are going in for knee replacements, and they have their tonsils out or their appendix out. And they're tested for COVID. So they're not being admitted because they have COVID.
And if they're asymptomatic and they test positive, that's a COVID case.
Yes.
That's a confirmed hospitalization for COVID.
It's a check mark by COVID.
Also, antibody test.
Yes.
If you test positive that you have antibodies, meaning you've had it in the past, that's a positive COVID test.
Yes.
So now, that doesn't sound right to me. I mean, it just sounds manipulative. Or
that's how they're counting it.
Well, it is.
Yes.
It is manipulative.
Well, is there, okay, what would be the motivation for that then?
Politics.
Politics, is there money involved too for the hospitals? I'm just asking.
Yeah, there's Medicaid reimbursements.
Sure. There's money involved for reporting coronavirus cases, and let's face it, there's a political motivation. This is an election year, and that's just part of the equation.
Oh, there's the political motivation would be for, I'm not that dumb, I do understand the implications here, political motivations would be to try to make President Trump and his administration look like they don't care about the rise in cases.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Therefore, hurting him with voters. That's the goal of those who hate President Trump. Mm-hmm. And I do believe to slow down the economy for a lot of states, blue states. Now, you don't like to think that's, you know what I'm saying? That's, you don't like to think, well, just because somebody is a Democrat, they would be in favor of slowing down their own economy in the name of, they wouldn't say that publicly in order to affect the fall elections. I don't know how you prove that.
Yeah.
That's just something somebody has to come to their own.
Sure. Well, where I lost a lot of respect for Dr. Birx, who was head of the coronavirus task force for the White House, where I lost a lot of respect is when she said at a news conference in the press briefing room that anyone who dies with COVID is a COVID death, is a COVID-caused death, COVID-related death. So you could have a heart attack driving down the road, you could overdose on drugs, whatever the...
She said this?
Yes, she said it. There's a clip. She said, people who die Everyone who dies is tested, and if they have COVID in their system, it is a COVID death. And so you're having a lot of people who pass away with ACE.
That's why people don't trust the numbers when you say things like that, or when you have that kind of approach. I heard a case recently of a married couple, and they had purchased long ago a cancer policy for both of them. The way I understand the story, I got this secondhand, but I do know the individual. Anyway, I don't know the individual, the couple personally. I'll just say that. But what happened was she had a relapse of her cancer, and she passed away. And her husband went to get the policy cashed in, if that's what that's the way you phrase it. And because she had COVID, the insurance company wouldn't pay out.
Wow.
That happened.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
But she'd been battling cancer.
She'd been battling cancer for a few years. She passed away of cancer. But because she had COVID, also the insurance company said, no, we're not paying because she didn't die of cancer. She died of COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. So... all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch us on the internet, Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. If you would like to send us an old-fashioned email, just go to comments@afr.net. The email address is comments@afr.net. Fred, next story.
Yes, well, yesterday morning about this time, Mayor Jenny Durkan of Seattle, after weeks of chaos and violence inside the CHOP zone, she finally gave the order for the police to move in and break down the CHOP zone, get rid of those blocks, and clear people out. More than 40 people arrested. I want you to have a listen to Fox News reporter Ashley Strawmeyer as she described what happened yesterday. Cut number 4.
Seattle police finally given the green light to dismantle CHOP. It was following Mayor Jenny Durkan's executive order. Officials say they have made at least 44 arrests for failure to disperse, assault, obstruction, pedestrian interference, and malicious mischief. Even though police took back over the precinct, there's still a lot of cleaning up they have to do before they can move back in. The mayor, who was reluctant to shut the zone down since it began weeks ago, is sounding off. Listen.
From conversations over the weekend, it was clear that many individuals would not leave and that the impacts to the community could not be reduced and public safety could not be improved until they did leave.
The executive order to clear the area comes after the fatal shootings of two teenagers. Chief Carmen Best slamming city leaders for allowing the CHOP zone to remain for far too long.
What has happened here on these streets is lawless. And it's brutal. And bottom line, it is simply unacceptable. Black lives matter. And I too want to help propel this movement forward. But enough is enough.
Following their removal, a leader of CHOP said, quote, we're going to have to work 10 times as hard to get our message back on track.
So there you have it. That's reporter Ashley Strawmeyer. Now you heard the voice of Mayor Jenny Durkan there. Remember when all of this started, when these anarchists moved in there, shut down all these businesses, forced all these businesses to leave the area? She said there's a festive mood in there. It's kind of the summer of love. Mm-hmm. Then people started being killed. Two young African-American teenagers killed. Assaults took place. Vandalism took place.
Yet because the police weren't in there.
Because they were ordered by the mayor not to go in there.
Right. So the mayor of Seattle ordered her own police department, do not go into this. At one time, it was a 6-block area of downtown Seattle. Let those people do what they want.
That's right. And all of this violence occurred. So what changed her mind?
Also, the trashing of the area.
Many people say it'll never come back. The businesses that were forced to shut down, a lot of them will never come back. So what changed the mayor's mind? Because she was aware of all the violence happening in there, the assaults, the murders of those two young black men. Why didn't she stop it then? Well, she only moved to stop it after one of the city councilors, and we'll perhaps get to her in a few minutes, gave the protesters the address of where Mayor Jenny lives. She lives in a gated community. The protesters came to her house. Magic happened. Then she wanted to shut down CHOP, and that's what she did. Only after they showed up at her house.
Walker?
Yeah, this was she was not fulfilling her duties. Her and the police chief were not fulfilling their duties by dismantling this on day one, hour one of this, really this insurgency of anarchists taking over a part of downtown Seattle for weeks on end. So, you know, the voters get what they get. So if they don't unseat this mayor ASAP and the police chief, then you're going to have this stuff continue. And this has been a problem in Seattle before this CHOP thing. There's been anarchy in Seattle for years now.
Right.
She's going to be reelected, I think, because she's going to claim victory. She's going to say, look, yeah, a few bad things happened and didn't work out the way we wanted, but at least the federal government didn't get called in. But boy, it's interesting, isn't it, Fred? The minute it got personal, yeah. The minute they showed up at her doorstep, suddenly she got religion, so to speak, and decided to do what she should have done on day one. But, you know, is this going to change Seattle? I don't think so. It was already far left leaning, and it's going to stay that way, unfortunately.
So this fits into the security for me, but not for thee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Category, huh?
That's it, exactly.
And this, you know, this has happened a couple, a few times now, where these protesters, rioters, roving gangs, whatever you want to call them, they are now going into private communities. Going into where people live who are officials, and they don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you're not of their Marxist ilk, they're coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in wasn't this mob of 300 go into the mayor's house in St. Louis?
Well, no.
When they passed
by, there was a gated community in St. Louis. And the family, you've now seen the pictures with the
yes,
guns.
Uh-huh.
All right. They were sympathizers, basically, of the left. But these people showed up.
They
at
were on their way to the mayor's house.
That's my point.
Yes.
That's my point. The mob was on their way to the mayor's house, and they happened to be, when they busted through the gated community, they passed by this couple who came out with the guns.
Yes.
Right? Okay. My point is they were going to the mayor's house.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in Los Angeles. They went to the mayor's house. You remember that? And then he said, okay, I'll cut the police department's budget. Hey, can I do that to get y'all off my back? They're going to the Hamptons now. And did you see this?
No.
This is
no.
where the rich and famous go to play
in
the summer. The Hamptons outside of New York City, where they were going to, I don't know how many people, the hundreds were going to this this area, and they were basically going. They were at Jeff Bezos' house.
Yeah.
I think he has a house there. They also set up a guillotine, a simulated or fake guillotine in front of Bezos' house in Washington D.C. Did y'all see this?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guillotine, cut your head off. Guillotine, French Revolution style.
Yeah.
So. these folks, I don't think a majority of people who say they support Black Lives Matter understand the ultimate goal of the people behind this. And that's why you have to distinguish between Black Lives Matter, the organization, and the sentiment that Black Lives Matter. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. We're going to talk to Jan Markell in just a minute.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you can pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
A beloved tradition at the University of Georgia is now gone with the wind. The director of the Redcoat Marching Band announced they will no longer play Terra's theme at football games. The instrumental classic was the theme song for Gone with the Wind. The director said the song did not create a welcoming environment to minority football players. Head coach Kirby Smart said it was the right thing to do, said it's important to evaluate history and work to bring people together. Meanwhile, the Southeastern Conference Football League sent a warning to the entire state of Mississippi, either change your flag or face retribution. The SEC commissioner said unless the Confederate-era emblem is removed from the flag, they will consider moving all championship games out of the Magnolia State. Nothing more than an old-fashioned cancel culture shakedown. You know, my new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, documents this very dangerous crusade to erase American history and culture. And I believe every freedom-loving American needs to read this book. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. Thank you for listening. I'm Tim with Walker. Fred and Ray joined us from Kansas City, Kansas. We three are in Tupelo, Mississippi. We just doxed ourselves, didn't we? all right. So joining us now, as she does most Thursdays, is Jan Markell. We're going to dox her now. She's in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Well, I guess you can't be in two places at one time. So she's not in the Twin Cities. She's in the one of the Twin Cities. How about that? all right, that's as much as I'll say. Jan, yes, good morning to you. What was the question we were going to pose to Jan?
God TV in Israel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, you know, in Israel, there is a prohibition against proselytizing. And that's been around for a long, long time. And so God TV is a Christian television network. I'm not familiar too much with their programming. But, Jan, I guess Israel's said no more God TV there?
Well, let me just clarify something here, Tim, and that is you're right that witnessing in Israel is tough, but the law there says that one, you can't try to entice a young person, and my hunch is that's under age 18, to convert to another faith. And then the other part of the law is you can't entice young people, and you can't offer any kind of money for them to become a Buddhist or a Christian or whatever. That's kind of the limit.
They want to keep, excuse me if you interrupted, but they want to keep their Jewish identity. Right.
They
in Israel, they're really serious about wanting to maintain their Jewish identity, and so that's the reason they do this. Excuse me for interrupting, but those qualifications you mentioned were, I wasn't aware of those.
Otherwise, you really can share your faith.
Yes.
I mean, it's not easy, but you can, and you're not going to be put in jail for it and things like that. So God TV came along this month to 6 weeks ago and announced they were going to have a channel that would be run in Israel by Messianic Jews, in other words, Jews who believe in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they would be sharing the gospel on that channel. And I'm not sure of the gentleman who's the head of that God TV. I don't know him. But anyway, his effort was sincere. Let's put it that way. The head of God TV and the Messianics in Israel were very sincere. They weren't being underhanded. They simply wanted to share their faith and how the Messianics in Israel had come to know Jesus as Messiah. Nothing kind of underhanded going on whatsoever. But the long story, real short, is some Christians, I'm not going to get into naming them, but some Christians and Christian ministries objected and said, we must not witness to Jews because we'll offend them. Well, I'd rather offend some Jews than offend God when it comes to sharing the faith about Jesus Christ. And again, the long story, very short, is finally Israel looked into it a little bit more and just said here in the last 1 to 2 days, you know what, God TV, you can't do this. We were going to let you do it, but it's we're not going to let this happen. Now, where's this going? I don't know.
Yeah, well, millions travel to Israel, you know, Christians from around the world, mm-hmm. other faiths too, but go there. This is rare. Israel's very hospitable. They're very hospitable to Christians from around the world, and they have no, you know, they don't want to be create, you know, any kind of distance between.
Absolutely.
Israel.
Look at the tourism, as you've just said, that comes from evangelicals, and it's evangelicals mm-hmm. who share their faith.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. I'm just curious, Jan, in your city there, Minneapolis, we've talked about this before with you, the city council voted to defund. Is it dismantle, defund, just get rid of the police altogether?
Get rid of the police. It passed unanimously on our city council. However, it does have to go before the people. Let me clarify one more thing. Our mayor, who is, I call him Pajama Boy, Mayor Frey. It's a 38-year-old young man who you have to wonder if he knows up from down, but he has said, no way, we need our police, and he's not going to go along with this. Even though he stepped aside and let the rioting and the burning and the looting happen back on May, I believe it was 28th, and going forth for a week or so, but he said no to this, and then even if this were to further here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, for that matter, it has to go before the people of Minneapolis or St. Paul or any suburb. I live in the suburb of Plymouth. It'd have to go to before the people here, and we'd have to vote on it, and I can pretty much guarantee it would be voted down.
Do you have any sense of how the citizens of Minneapolis proper will vote if they have to yes or no on police?
Well, I have a retired policeman on my board of directors, and he says that the people of the Twin Cities are dropping off. And I'm not saying any of this in any kind of a tone of jest whatsoever. They're dropping off candy. They're dropping off flowers. They're dropping off gifts to our police precincts to try to tell them the people of the Twin Cities, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, we love our police department, so please feel loved. And that's great that we're doing that, because, you know, can you think of a tougher job to have today mm-hmm. than a police officer?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I would be surprised if a majority of citizens of Minneapolis agree with their city council that this.
I think you're right, then it won't happen.
Yeah,
but as we speak, it's happening in New York. So I mean, a version of it, a defunding, not a dismantling, but a defunding. I mean, $1 billion out of New York police.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, this stuff is happening.
Yeah. Jan, what's coming up on your show this weekend?
Prophecy derangement syndrome. We'll talk about why a lot of people and pastors don't want to talk about the good news that the King is coming.
Amen.
All right. We look forward to
it. All right.
Thanks, Jan. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Goodbye.
That's Jan Markell joining us from the Twin Cities.
Yeah, to Jan's point about the defunding the police and it not being popular amongst the citizens, you know, they're going to have to, the citizens in these cities are going to have to stand up, as we talked about earlier with Seattle,
mm-hmm.
because if they don't stand up and make a change in leadership, then this stuff's going to continue. So it really is, in the long term, up to the voters of the city.
Hey, let's talk about standing up to this mob right now, to the progressive left and their agenda. President Trump tweeted out something yesterday, I guess it was, that he was the lone warrior or something like that. He must feel all alone on this issue, because there is a totalitarian state like China, for example, or even a totalitarian religious state like, for example, Saudi Arabia, these places suppress any kind of disagreement, right, among from the authorities or the state who rule, right? I mean, that's what we see going on with Hong Kong, for example. You have the people in Hong Kong wanting to maintain some sovereignty, some freedom, the life they've come to enjoy, particularly back under British occupation, whatever you want to call it, British
rule.
Although the British allowed Hong Kong to rule themselves, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What we have going on in the United States right now is we have the secular progressive mob mentality that is the cancel culture. That is coming out in full force now. There's nothing stopping them. And they are very intimidating. And I'm talking about from an economic side. We see what's happening with Facebook, for example. And I'm not saying that Facebook should not police themselves to keep violent hate groups from being on their platform. I don't have a problem with that. It's that the definition of a hate group, for example, or what needs to be canceled, is set by the progressive mob now,
mm-hmm.
so that they want to squelch any voices that disagree with them or want to have a debate or want to have a conversation or who say, no, I don't agree that Mount Rushmore needs to be come down. Okay, so what they'll do is they pressure companies who fold like cheap suits. Now we're seeing that happen. And they also will cost you, they'll go after your job, and now they'll come to your house.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And there's no opposition, or very little opposition, to this because of fear. So somebody sees their neighbor go down, lose their job, they don't want to speak up in support of their neighbor, for example, or somebody they know because then they too will become a target. It's becoming a place that's ruled by mobsters or cartels.
Mm-hmm.
Except the cartels aren't drug cartels; they're thought cartels.
It's extortion.
Yes, and cancel you,
mm-hmm.
And they and or worse, this is what we've been warning about you saw the one of the editors of the Washington Post is an African American lady who the other day tweeted that she could have just as easily been white, for that matter, or another race. It was her ideology that was scary. She was saying, she tweeted that that white women need to be glad that people like her, the secular progressive women, were not coming for revenge. And she used white women. Mm-hmm. Did you see this, Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very broad, general, in other words, revenge is what you deserve, white women. This right. is from this life. This is a person at a high visibility job at the Washington Post. Of course, it's very liberal.
Yeah.
But the language that she used, and thus far she hasn't been rebuked, or I think, did she have to take the tweet down, or did she not, Ray?
It is down. She took the tweet down. The tweet is down, or somebody told her to take it down. It's down, but you can find screenshots all over Twitter.
But Ray, what do you get my point? What's happening sure. here in America? This is
You're lucky I'm not violent, basically, is what she was saying, because yeah. otherwise we'd be coming after you white
yeah,
women.
Violence yeah, violence is justified against white women. That's basically right. what she was saying. If we wanted to take it out on you, we would be justified. I'm saying this is leading to, hopefully this doesn't lead to a race war in our country.
In Atlanta, you had the stepmother of the officer who shot Rayshard Brooks in what I would call a justified shooting, police shooting, but his stepmother lost her job the next week. The company she worked, she had nothing to do with the shooting, nothing to do with the situation. She was just a family member of someone involved, and she got fired.
Well, here's what happens in those situations. Somebody from the Black Lives Matter organization, for example, calls up this company that this woman works for. I don't know if this is how this happened, but this is how it goes down. And they say, hey, do you get rid of this lady or we're coming after your company?
Yeah.
And these executives' knees buckle and they don't know exactly how to respond. So they yield to the pressure and they see that they get attacked on Facebook, right? They get calls.
Right.
Ray. And this is happening all over the country. This is another reason why these monuments are being, a lot of these monuments are being destroyed, because there's no police there to defend those monuments, and the mayors of the cities don't want to say anything because they don't want the mob coming to their house.
Right.
That's why. So Ray, I don't know. So President Trump feels like he's the only one standing up
to
this.
I hope the president makes this law and order the centerpiece of his campaign this
yeah.
fall, because mm-hmm. there are tens of millions of Americans who are fed up with the violence.
Maybe
the
silent majority, maybe?
Right. Mm-hmm. Put it back. Yeah. I think he could put it back together. And I hope he speaks out in favor of the police in every single campaign appearance he makes this fall.
Yeah.
Because I think that's millions of Americans will support him. Yes. On that point, because they see the lawlessness and they go, this is not the America we believe in.
Yeah.
I think the left has overplayed their hand.
Absolutely.
I think the left has overplayed their hand. You stop, you look at New York, no fan of the governor there, Cuomo. But now Cuomo is attacking Mayor de Blasio of New York
right.
for what he has done with the police department there, cutting their budget by $1 billion. Paraphrasing here. But Cuomo says of his fellow Democrat, you're crazy. You're
yeah.
nuts what you're doing.
Cuomo called de Blasio nuts, basically?
Oh, yeah. It's nuts what you're doing. You're cutting back in the police department. De Blasio is allowing these protesters to come. You talk about no social distancing. These protesters are literally in the face of police officers, calling them down right to their face. I'm talking about inches away from them. And they have been ordered, these police officers, do not do anything.
Yeah, I would
stand there and take it.
I would agree that the left is overplaying their hand, because in the short term, this causes negativity on the Trump administration. and maybe his poll numbers aren't looking good right now, but overall, this is not going to carry over to the ballot box for the left.
No.
It's actually, I think it's going to be the opposite. But people don't like this. They don't like this. They don't like the mob.
Thus, I don't think law-abiding citizens who don't want this kind of, of all races are opposed to this. Yep.
Can I play you a clip from a caller we had on Sandy's show this morning? This is a young man. His name is Juan, lives in North Carolina. He's in his 20s. Immigrated here.
He called into Sandy's show, which you hosted this morning?
Yes. In his 20s, came here from Mexico. I want you to hear what he has to say about this country and how precious it is to him. And it was a message to everyone, even people who were born in this country, who somehow are being sucked into this terrible, terrible vortex right now, that there is something wrong
of
with
anti-Americanism.
Anti-Americanism. It's cut number two.
I'm in my 20s. I'm an immigrant, and the outreach that your radio station has, you reach different backgrounds, and you'll never know who's listening. The left was being funded by people who have lots of money.
Yeah.
And they organize almost like, almost like a corruption, an organized corruption. I'm from Mexico, and you hear about organized corruption every single day in Mexico, but what she said really opened up, like, my mind to even a further extent of what it already is, just listening to your radio and just kind of looking on everything that's going on. I said, man, I mean, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to bring values back to this country, even if I'm not from here.
Yeah.
Even if I can't vote, there's ways I can make a difference.
That was his name is Juan. He was talking about an interview we did with Brigitte Gabrielle, who's calling on conservatives to get out and do something. Speak up against what's going on in this country.
You know, it's similar to an experience my wife, Allison, had yesterday or the day before. She told me about it. She was in an establishment where a gentleman was from Vietnam.
Hmm.
And he was in his 20s. And he's here on a green card. And he really wants to become a citizen. He said that's his desire. And he said, these people protesting against America, these Americans protesting against their own country, he says they had no idea what the majority of the world live in.
Yeah.
And how he said everybody in Vietnam wants to come to America.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He says because of you have a great country here, despite your things that happen from time to time. He said you have a great country. And he was like shocked that people would be tearing down statues and protesting against the United States.
You know, this is similar to 2016, not as much chaos, but the voices against Trump were so loud in 2016 that you thought, sure, there's no way he can win this. And that's how they are now. The voices against Trump are very loud, they're very vulgar, they're very nasty. But really, the people who voted for Trump in 2016, they don't like answering pollsters on the phone about who they're going to vote for. They don't want to go down and burn the city. They don't want to go tear down monuments. Instead, they're going to go to the ballot box in November, and that's where their voice is going to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the turnout for Trump is going to be
he has an uphill battle because the economy needs to keep improving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's going to have his supporters, and he's going to have those who hate him, and that's probably not going to change no matter what happens, right? But you have that maybe that middle ground where people are going to, a lot of these swing states, people are going to make up their minds who they want to be president in November, if Biden makes it. By makes it, I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. We all know what I'm talking about, whether he's going to be able to physically and mentally be able to carry through to November.
Yeah.
By the way, I asked Brent to get for us a couple of, I want to play some of Biden's greatest hits, Joe Biden's greatest hits. He is quite the entertainer. I give him that. And so can you play that now?
We're helping Main Street Lending. It's called the Main Street Lending Program to help small and medium-sized businesses. It's been 2 months since Congress gave them that money.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
God rest her soul. And although she's, wait, your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul.
Stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about?
Chuck can't walk. And so he couldn't stand up. He didn't mean to do that. Joe Biden didn't mean to do that. He wasn't trying to be mean to that fella. He was embarrassed because of it, I'm sure. The point is, it's over and over and over and over again, Ray.
Look, Trump is going to eat him alive. If he's the nominee, if he's still on the ticket, as you've said, there's questions. But if they actually square off in a debate, and the president is going to just, yeah, he's going to wipe the floor with him, because Biden's going to do that. He's going to. Well, look, in this quote press conference he had a day or so ago, he was reading off the teleprompter, and he still sounded incoherent.
Yeah, and you know, at one point he couldn't remember the name of his hometown newspaper.
And he had a list in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the reporters.
The debates are very, very difficult situations to be in, because you're not supposed to know the questions unless you're CNN and Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Unless you know Donna Brazile.
Right. Yes. But you're not. Typically, the candidates don't know the questions. And it's a lot of questions and a lot of back and forth and debating and arguing. And if he has trouble at a teleprompter, he's sure enough going to have trouble at a debate.
What do you think, Ray, he meant when he was asked by the Fox reporter? The Fox reporter, you got that? Okay, do we have the... Does it start by him calling him a dog-faced liar? Okay. Again, we played this yesterday. This is Joe Biden. Now, listen to the first thing again that he says to the Fox reporter before he even gets to the question.
Some have speculated,
you're a lying dog,
that you are subject to some degree of cognitive decline. I'm 65. I don't have word recollection that I used to have. I forget my train of thought from time to time. You got 12 years on me, sir. Have you been tested for some degree of cognitive decline?
I've been tested, and I'm constantly tested. Look, all I got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against.
Okay, I've been tested, and I'm constantly tested. You think what is he talking about there, Ray? You think?
In context, doesn't he mean he's being constantly tested to see if he has the mental abilities? I mean, is that, what else could that mean?
Was the question from the reporter. Have you been tested?
Yeah, if President Trump had responded the way Biden did, just think about it. This would be a 5-day news story.
Right.
With we want medical records. We want documentation. We want to talk to the psychologist who tested you.
Right.
Because you said you've been tested many times and you're constantly tested. What I think he meant, to be most generous, is he was basically blowing the reporter off, saying, you know, I'm tested every day because I keep up with what's going on and I can do press conferences like this. Thus, I'm tested. You see what I'm saying? Sort of a generic answer. But you say, Ray, his campaign would do well to, well, they wouldn't do well because it would remain a story. They hope that it goes away and the mainstream media will cover for him.
But, Tim, it's not going to go away.
I know.
Because, you know,
I know.
They're stuck. The Dems are stuck.
I know. Again, if I were a family member, I would not put my dad up like that. Mm. Certainly not going forward. I wouldn't have gone this far. I don't know what.
It's sad. If you take the politics out of it, it's a sad situation.
Yeah, because if you draw attention to it, then you're potentially seen as somebody who's making fun of an elderly man with dementia.
Right.
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 But
which
he's
we don't
the one
want to do.
But he's the one putting himself out there to be president.
He wants to be president, right,
of the United States. Anyway, the honking geese as he talks will forever be my number one hit from Joe Biden. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.